From KUOW, 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Last week, Gallup released a new part of their ongoing survey on the state of the American workplace. The takeaway? People are not engaged at work. The reason? Maybe bad bosses is part of it. 7 out of 10 surveyed said they were not engaged at work. Some people said they're actively disengaged. Yesterday on Weekday, Marcy Silman spoke with New York Times opinion writer Tim Egan. He blames the disengagement on bad bosses and has some tips for them.
The person in the cubicle next to you who may hold a rank of management should talk to you, should tell you what your purpose is. They should ask you your opinion. People wanted to feel like they were a part of something greater. That is their, you know, their workplace itself. Look, even if you have to fake it, talk to your subordinates. I mean, ask them, what do you think?
Now, there are lots of bad bosses out there. We've talked about that before, but today we're talking about what makes a good boss. Who is the best boss you ever had? And think about what made them a great boss. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Did the best boss ever ask you what you thought? 800-289-5869. Was the best boss you ever had someone who maybe scared you but forced you to be better? You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Joining me, Paul Yost, with some tips on how to be a good boss. He's a professor at the organizational psychology at Seattle Pacific University. He's also the author of Real-Time Leadership Development, and he's been a boss. I want to ask him about that. But first of all, Paul, what does being a good boss actually mean? I mean, you immediately might think they're liked by their employees, but you could be loved by your employees and drive the business or organization into the ground, right? So what are we talking about when we're talking about a good boss?
A good boss is someone who I would say does think about the larger organization and the place that employees have in that. But they serve as a bridge to really empower employees to make a difference inside the company. And a really good boss is someone who looks to make their employees successful, and then their success follows that.
But doesn't the boss have to have a successful organization to be a good boss? I mean, don't they have to be meeting their quotas or exceeding their goals or be profitable? Isn't there some outside judgment of what makes a good boss?
Absolutely. Yeah. They need to do all of that. What's interesting is if you look at why employees leave companies, they aren't leaving companies. They're leaving bosses. So individual bosses make a huge difference in whether good talent stays, which ultimately affects will the company be successful.
Now, you've studied this since you were a boss, but as you look back on your days as a boss, were you a good boss?
So the best way to answer that question is to ask my employees and my boss. I probably am not in a good place to do that. Mm-hmm. So I would say, and that's probably one of the big lessons for bosses, is tag a couple of people who you regularly ask, how am I doing? A couple of people who work for you, a couple of colleagues, maybe your boss, and say, here's what I'm working on. Here's what I want to get better at. How am I doing?
But I think in many organizations, if the boss is getting results, it doesn't really matter what people think about them. Isn't that the case? I mean, they're getting more money in, they're improving the numbers, they're doing this, they're doing that. Do the bosses of the bosses really care?
Sometimes not. But it's increasingly organizations, as they're doing performance appraisals of bosses, are looking at two factors. One is, to what extent are you getting the results? And secondly, how are you getting those results? Because if you get the short-term results, that is no guarantee that you will also be able to keep people around and reach your long-term goals.
Let's go to Joe Dawson. We've got him on the line, and we wanted to talk to Joe about the process of being a boss, because, Joe, you've been a boss before.
Oh, yes, many times.
And what have you learned from being a boss about being a good boss?
First and foremost, I think the most important thing is to be liked and trusted by the people above and below you. You asked about a job I had when I was younger. When I was 17, I started working at a golf course country club. And when I started there, a lot of people were stealing things and a lot of stuff. I watched thousands of dollars of merchandise leave. I realized I couldn't go on, and eventually someone was going to get blamed for it. But I was in charge of everybody's scheduling, and so I was really their boss, even as young as I was. So So at a banquet with about 20 people had showed up that were the younger staff, I closed the door and started a discussion about the theft. And it kind of struck me that the solution was to make up a schedule for the theft, because people didn't realize how much theft was going on. I actually set it up so that everyone had a day and they could steal one thing or a couple of small things. And I literally went and got the schedule thing and wrote it all out and actually taped it right below the regular schedule.
Wait a minute. This is the day I can go in and steal a golf ball?
Yeah, or a bottle of booze or a steak. And your coworkers will watch out for you. Even the ones who opted out of it and didn't want to participate still played lookout.
Now, was that making you a good boss or a bad boss?
Well, I mean, in the end, I reduced the theft 70-80%.
Because you controlled it. That's amazing. So instead of indiscriminately stealing as much as they could, you said it's like an allowance. You can steal a bottle of liquor today, but not tomorrow?
Correct. And and I made everyone very aware about how much was going on.
And so you made them care about the fact that all this money was being lost somehow. But how did you make them care? They're just there doing their job. Why do they care if overall money is lost? How did you make them care about that?
It became fun and it became camaraderie. I replaced some of the thrill of the actual theft with them actually discussing between themselves what they were going to take that day. Their birthday was coming up and they were going to have a party and they wanted this or that. And, you know, and then, you know, people got in on it and were laughing and joking and it became kind of a bonding thing rather than something everyone kept secret.
Innovative. Joe Dawson, thanks for telling us about it. Paul Yost is in the studio with me. He's the author of Real-Time Leadership Development. I don't imagine that would work at the Apple store. You know, you can only steal one AirBook a week.
Joe, I think, brings up a couple of good points around it is caring about the people. He's also providing some clear goals and structure around what's really important, how is his success being measured, and how will employees' success being measured going forward.
You know, you talked a little bit earlier about the good boss understands the total organization. And does it also involve being able to convey that overall mission to the people who work for that person?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is all on board. We're all working for the same goal.
Yeah. Amgen, which is a pharmaceutical company, has a really interesting activity at their shareholders meetings where they have people come in and share whose lives have been saved as a result of the drugs. I'm here because of you. And you can just imagine what that does for the employees. I'm not here to get a paycheck at the end of the day, but I just saved someone's life.
Here's a great question from Angie, who wrote the conversation at KUOW.org. I used to think a good boss was one who would work alongside the workers, but now I think it's one who can delegate and stand back.
Hmm.
What do you think?
There's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, of the best leaders, when their work is done, their people will say, we did it ourselves. And I think that's just a really powerful image for bosses to keep in mind around, I'm creating the conditions, the structure around people to let them thrive.
Here's what we heard earlier today when we asked, what makes a good boss?
I used to work as a nanny when I was in my early 20s. I'm very old now. And I still think of them with great fondness. Ken and Judy Goldthorpe, I took care of their kids for a couple of years, and they were the best people I have ever worked for. They were sweet and kind and not, I can't even explain how awesome they were. They were just the best ever. And I love them still. And it's been like, you know, 30 years since.
Yeah, I'm calling about the best boss I've ever had. And it was a captain of a Bering Sea crab boat. He was relaxed. He expected us to do our job, and he trusted that we would do it, and we trusted he would do his, and consequently, there was very little interchange in between the two of us. Finally, he was a good crab captain just because he listened to a lot of NPR up there on satellite radio.
Oh, I can't argue with that. That's clearly the secret of being a good boss. Curtis wrote to us, a great leader will inspire people to work hard by earning respect and not bullying. People like being on a winning team where input is valued and encouraged, writes Curtis. But Paul Yost, what if the team is losing? What if the organization is failing? That seems to pose a bigger challenge for the boss.
It's a bigger challenge, but it's also a bigger opportunity for the boss as well. This is a team who now we can make a real difference. If you look at one of the key ideas is bosses learn over time. To be an expert, it takes 10 years, 10,000 hours, according to research.
And Macklemore.
Yeah. And most of that learning occurs in trial by fire, edge of your comfort zone kinds of experiences. And that's a great opportunity for a team to really make a difference inside of the company as well.
Let's talk to Mike, who's giving us a call today from Redmond. Mike, what do you have to say about what makes a good boss?
Well, my boss, he had a lot of the attributes that your speaker was talking about. I was thinking about him a lot. Leonard Lanka back in Michigan. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2010. But he cared about our little company of 8 employees. And in 2009, at the height of Michigan's recession, our company was bought out by a larger company. And as a condition of sale, he asked that company to keep us employed for another year. And that took money out of what he would have received for the sale of the company. So he guaranteed employment for us for another year. And it was within that year that he passed away, unfortunately. But he was a good boss. He cared about us. He let us work on our own. He empowered us. And I was glad to have him for 15 years leading me in my work.
Wow, Mike, that's an incredible boss. Thanks a lot for sharing that story with us. Here's what else we heard when we asked you what makes a great boss.
I'm a nurse practitioner, and she was a lead nurse practitioner in an emergency room setting. And she was the best boss I ever had because she led by example. She was great with patients. She was a good clinician. She was very respectful to the patients, and she was a wonderful teacher. But I think it was mostly the fact that she led by example that made me respect her so much and want to strive to be a better practitioner myself.
The best boss I ever had is the boss that I currently have right now because she actually knows what I do. When she started, I was the one to sit down and train her, and so she actually knows what I do day to day. She listens to the suggestions that I make and actually takes me seriously, and she feels much more like a mentor who's actually invested in my success than a taskmaster who's sort of standing above me and cracking the whip.
Lots of good advice there. Hey, Paul Yost, thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us about good bosses.
Thank you.
Paul is a professor of organizational psychology at Seattle Pacific University, author of Real-Time Leadership Development. David Hyde produces The Conversation with Arwa Nix. We get production help from Hannah Byrne and Allie Ferguson. Bernard Ouellette is our engineer. I'm Ross Reynolds.